Hello, this is Thompson Smiley, and this is another of those incidents where we take something from my Louisville magazine column, Smiley's Picks, and bring it into the studio of WOL. And my guest today is David Roth, who is General Director of Kentucky Opera, and to declare an interest, as was I about 3 decades ago. So David, we have a lot to talk about. One of the most exciting noises I know in all of history is the prelude to the overture to the Marriage of Figaro, and you're presenting this magisterial work, aren't you, in November. Tell us about the challenges and the joys of doing that.
We are. I'm not sure if there are challenges with it, and it is such a joy for me to present this work. It's one of the early operas I fell in love with, and every year, every experience, every production, every time I have a chance to revisit this piece, I discover something new. It truly, truly is a magical work. And, you know, if you look at it, Thompson, it's a work that's based on really three men's geniuses coming together. Even though two of them only worked together on it, it really began with Beaumarchais in a brilliant French farce that was quite well known in its time throughout Europe, The Marriage of Figaro by Beaumarchais, banned in Austria at the time by Emperor Joseph. And then De Ponte and Mozart come together a few years after that, and their genius sets about creating this work. And quite honestly, we may not even be aware, or we might have lost The Marriage of Figaro if it weren't for this work of Mozart and really a brilliant libretto by De Ponte.
Yes, there's a whole slew of operas which have been preserved, as it were, in the aspic of opera by, you know, La Tosca and pieces like that, which would never appear in the theatre. I had a rather revolutionary thought last night. Actually, we're watching Don Giovanni, but my wife and I on the DVD at home, we might work just as well, and we will be watching Figaro before November 18, that these works have an odd timelessness to them and an odd relevancy at the moment. I mean, if I were to say that the Count and in Figaro and Don Giovanni in the opera Don Giovanni represent the 1%, and that Mazzetto and the Valley of Figaro represent the 99%, I'd probably get hauled off to jail. But there is something in the air of that quality.
Absolutely. You know, getting back to, you know, Beaumarchais' play, in this particular case, you were looking at something that was very contemporary to his time. And again, we don't have a lot of relativity to that. It's not relevant to us in this time, what he was writing about, politically speaking, in his period. But then you have De Ponte and Mozart taking this work and really with Mozart's music ennobling these characters, but making something more human out of them, and in that sense, making them more universal and making their human experience, the relationships that they've created, something that expresses about our time as well. It expresses something about the time that we live in and the relationships that we have. So it goes beyond just an 18th century play, and it speaks to modern audiences.
Like Rosina, the Countess, she's been married 4 years to that fresh young fella in the Barbarousville, but already she's a rejected wife, and her sadness is timeless.
Absolutely. You know, you speaking of timelessness, there was a production, one of Peter Sellers' early pieces that came out, and I believe was in the late 80s or early 90s. And one of his major international successes when he took this piece and he updated it, as Shakespeare has often done, Shakespeare plays updated to modern concepts. But he updated it to the Trump Towers, and Donald Trump himself became the Count. And it was very effective in telling the story of these characters.
The only thing I think that does not translate, and I had this conversation on air with John Jury a couple of months ago, is certain aspects of morality. I mean, the idea that somebody having sex before marriage is shocking, you know. Nowadays, the idea of somebody not doing that is simply appalling.
Well, sure, and the conceit that Beaumarchais used in this piece to throw us into the entanglement of all of these lives, the droit de seigneur, the right of the lord and master to have his conquest before one of his Vestal Virgins is married under his domain. And of course, we don't really have a connection to that in common society, but we do have a connection to it in terms of male hierarchy, in terms of the male machismo and male machoism that is still prevalent today.
Let me ask you about the production. It's what we old pros call a new production, and that is something special.
It is something very special. We are using this production to launch a four-year Mozart cycle. I believe the Brown Theater is tailor-made to produce Mozart. The intimacy of the music, the intimacy of the characters, the really intricacy of the dialogue and the text, even though it is sung in this particular case with recitative, that intimate connection to the audience will really transform people's experience coming to see this piece in the Brown Theater. So I believe Mozart was absolutely made to be produced, performed in this theater. And as a result, we are committed to really 4 years now of producing Mozart. And because of the unique space, it's not always easy finding productions to rent. And we have a couple of pieces that are also tailor-made for presenting 18th century opera, presenting opera in a more intimate setting. And we're using those as a foundation for the construction of the set. And then this year, producing The Marriage of Figaro on it. Next year, we are looking at the Don Giovanni. And it will be 4 years of using the basic foundation of the set and then adding different designs to it for each of the productions.
Sure. That's smart. It makes good financial sense. And, of course, it's visual. Visual variety.
Right. And it allows each of the design teams, because we are using the same set designer, but we're bringing in different directors with different ideas, different, if you will, concepts to each of these operas. So we don't want to have one box set and then impose that on each of the directors. We want to give them the freedom to be fresh and experience and take the show in the directions they want to take the show.
Now, before time runs out on us, I want to emphasize it's at the Brown Theatre on Broadway. The dates are November 18, which is a Friday night at 8 o'clock, and the second performance, the matinee, Sunday the 20th of November, is at 2 p.m. The number to call is 584-7777. David, one question which I wish people had asked me, but it wasn't relevant to ask me in my time. Of all the arts organizations in Louisville, the only one which ended its season last year, I believe, in the black, was the Opera Company. That was not true 25 years ago, although we did tend to end the season in the black. Opera was, if anything, the weak sister or the runt of the litter, call it what you like, against the glittering audiences of ballet and the regularity of a double subscription series for the orchestra. Why is opera booming at a time when we're seeing decline in attendance at many other art forms?
Well, we still have many challenges out there, and I think we are very fortunate to have ended this past season in the black, but really the last two seasons in the black. And I say we were fortunate, but also I truly believe it's a dedication to a new model that we established 3 years ago, a new model that brought us to the Brown Theater. And with that move to the Brown Theater, we not only challenged our audiences, but we opened up our audiences to an experience they had not had previously with the productions we were producing in Whitney Hall. And that is a real engagement of our audiences, a real connection of those audiences to the artists on stage. And now they're experiencing something emotionally that they had never captured before. We're producing many of the standard repertory from Madame Butterfly and Traviata to Carmen this year, but I have audience members coming to me and suggesting it's the best production they've ever seen. And I don't necessarily know that it's the best production that we've ever produced, but they're truly experiencing on a level that they have not in prior years, experiencing something emotional, something so transformative that it is turning new audiences into opera fans.
My guest has been David Roth, General Director of Kentucky Opera, which is performing The Marriage of Figaro, November 18 and 20 at the Brown Theatre. Number to call, 584-7777.